Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, we're recording.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
We're together, we'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And welcome to the Love is Blind after show.
Woo! Emily, so we gotta find a sound.
Yeah.
We gotta find it like a little
something exciting something. In there.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're super hyped for these episodes. We'll be joined every week with a new relationship expert or somebody that can help us make sense of what we're watching this season on Love is Blind. Today, we'll be joined by a very special, special guest, relationship and certified sex therapist, Dr. Viviana Coles. Some of you may remember Dr. Viviana as one of the experts on seasons 9 through 14 of Married at First Sight. We are super excited to have her on today. We're going to deep dive into the gift that keeps on giving, episodes 1 through 6 of this season.
Man.
And Dr. Viv, she has, you know, a unique experience working on reality dating shows. So we have some questions for her about just the behind the scenes of casting for a show like this and the unique challenges that these couples face. As well as, yeah, she has over 20 years of experience as a marriage and family therapist.
Right.
And an intimacy expert as well.
Yeah. And so, clear, like, strong ethics in those practices, which we don't often see with reality television doctors.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah. So this season of Love is Blind, as we already all can see, is quite a doozy. TikTok and Twitter, our comments, everyone's going nuts over this weekend, these first six episodes. It's a lot. It's a lot of dialogue, a lot of, you know, you could interpret things different way. Everything is colored by your own experiences, right? Everything is colored by what you've been through, or who you see yourself to be in some of these situations. What guy's triggering you, what girl's triggering you, based on, again, your past. So yeah, we're super hyped to have a doctor on the show today to help bring us all a little clarity and understanding as to what we're watching and what we can maybe expect for the rest of the season. So also want to remind everybody to stick around for the very, very, very end of the episode. We will be discussing the latest episode of Real Houses of Potomac. We have not forgotten. It is back. So for those of you who need a little Potomac recap, it's at the end of the episode. Okay, before we dive in with Dr. Vib, there's a couple things we got to chat about during this pre-show.
We got some Love is Blind social media. They're coming out the woodwork. All the cast members are coming out with their own social media kind of first announcements of like, hey guys, you're meeting me for the first time. Here I am.
Okay.
So we have some of that. We have a lot of opinions going around about AD that I would love to actually address with you. There's a lot going on around AD. A lot going on around Mr. Trevor. Trevor. And then Portia Williams' husband, Simon. I can't believe he's worth like $400 billion and she's still just Portia's husband.
I often forget his name, so same. I really just know him as Portia's husband. Yeah. Portia's new husband, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't some he's got some issues. So we'll talk about
issues.
That.
Oh, geez. All right. Well,
if you want to listen to our episodes ad free, if you want to watch us on video, and if you want to listen to our juicy pre-show talking about even more Love is Blind mess and Real Housewives mess, join Patreon at patreon.com/2blackgirls1rose.
Yes. And you can try the Patreon membership with a 7-day free trial. So check that out. Shout out to the Rose Garden.
Love you.
Love you guys. Mm-hmm. We are so excited to welcome to our Love is Blind after show someone you all may recognize as one of the experts from seasons 9 through 14 of Married at First Sight. So she may know a thing or two about finding love on TV and the unique challenges that it comes with. She is a couples therapist and certified sex therapist with over 20 years of experience helping couples through emotionally and physically tough times. She is an intimacy expert and the author of The 4 Intimacy Styles, The Key to Lasting Physical Intimacy. Please welcome to the show, Dr. Viviana Coles.
Woo! Hi.
Hey, so excited
thank
to
you
have
so much
you.
For having me. Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about a different reality TV show.
Yes, yes. A different one, but still got its kooky people and still got its drama.
It absolutely does. And this season is amazing so far. What do y'all think?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, loving
it's so good, so good. We were talking offline as well about Love is Blind as a show, and you're a fan of Love is Blind as a viewer, right, Dr. Viviana?
I am all up in every season, everything that's going on. I watched as the live that should have been didn't happen. I'm like, I am all about it. Every season, I think it just brings. The what if factor is huge with Love is Blind.
Absolutely. Nice. Well, we're going to dive right in. As you said, a lot's going down already. The first 6 episodes are out. The internet is going crazy. We also are trying to make sense of what we're watching. But yeah, we wanted to start with just this idea of like finding love, getting married on TV, and then sustaining that relationship afterwards. Definitely has its unique challenges, right? Whether it's Married at First Sight, Love is Blind, Temptation Island, Love Island, like you name it, any dating show is going through, you're seeing couples being challenged. We think, Justine and I, that the path to success would start at casting and bringing on individuals with genuine intentions, a real commitment to marriage. Perhaps they've even been to therapy before, so they're showing up as their best selves and have an ability to self-reflect in the middle of these like very pressure cooker relationships. Would you agree that casting is where it starts? And what characteristics do you vet bringing someone into a process like this?
Absolutely. I think casting, even just from the way that people are reached out to and the response that they get, because just like with anything, when you're looking for potential candidates, you're going to go out there and you're going to look and you're going to try to recruit people who maybe aren't aware that a particular role or position, or in this case, a participant experience is out there. I'm never against people going out and like recruiting for people for these shows, because again, not everybody watches reality TV shows. You named a couple, you know, to begin with that I've never watched before. Not that I've never heard of them, but I've never watched. And so that's the sort of thing where, yes, definitely making sure that people who are then interested in the whole realm of love, who are actually looking for a long-term partnership, that's what I think casting needs to be really on top of. But here's the thing, like everybody, my husband and I, we were going to have been married for 17 years. He was not thinking marriage when we met. Like we actually dated in middle school, but then there were like a whole decade apart. The second time around, he wasn't marriage minded. He wasn't looking for that. It wasn't until we got together that he was like, oh, wait a minute. Not only do I want that, but I also want kids right away. And we were very much aligned.
Wow.
Nobody would have guessed that a year later we'd like have had our first child at that point. So a lot of it is you try to get individuals to be as truthful and honest about where they want to be. and how they are currently taking steps towards that. But we also just have no idea what finding the right person or going through this experience. And for a lot of these people, it feels like they're going through a huge life journey of self-exploration, self-realization. And of course, we want them to find love in a very authentic way. But there's just no way to know that. Even in casting, there's really no way to know that.
Yeah, because you mentioned like judging for truth, like wanting people who are truthful to the experience. But I mean, you guys, experts casting, aren't like like foreseers or like who can't read crystal balls. You're hoping people are truthful, right?
Yeah, if somebody tells us, I want love, I want a long-term relationship, I want to feel like I am in a partnership that is, that has legs to grow, that is like, we can't be like, well, just because, you know, we're looking at your past and you've spent the last 5 years going through 10 different relationships, that doesn't mean that that's not true, that what they're wanting isn't true. Sometimes you do have to go through 10 people to figure out who the one is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's really difficult. I mean, we all have to. It is very difficult. And for all of you who are dating online and who are dating in the real world, you've been through times where you were like, oh, that person just straight up lied to me. I mean, it's not happening on TV, but it happens.
Right. It happens in dating.
In the real world, it's going to happen on TV.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, reality TV. Yeah.
Are the qualifications different for men and women in terms of things that casting would be looking for? Because when we're watching, we're seeing, we talk about all the time, we're seeing a lot of untherapized men, men who seem to have missed the step of doing some self-work before coming on a process like this. So when they're vetting in casting, are qualifications for men and with women different?
I think yes. I don't know if it's the qualifications per se, but it's a microcosm of what's going on in the real world. In the real world, women talk about therapy. Women tend to be much more vulnerable in the way that they talk about feelings, their flaws, what they're working through. And that's something that is reflected in what we're seeing, like on A Love Is Blind, where maybe only two or three of the men have gone through therapy. That doesn't mean that they're not capable of sharing. That doesn't mean that they have, you know, experienced trauma, and but it does mean that maybe they're going to need a little bit more like education when it comes to sharing and communication, and that might not be the case for the women. So yeah, I think you're right. It is different, but it's also again, it's an expression, and it's just of what's going on in real life. You know, it's a reflection of what's going on in real life.
Yeah, I think you were one of the experts formerly on Married at First Sight that was really acutely aware of that fact that men were new to being vulnerable with their emotions, which obviously gets a lot of these ladies in trouble. But on Love is Blind, they date in the pods over the course of 10 days. So it's a lot of rapid fire dating. We have no idea what these time constraints are. There's no windows in this warehouse. Most of these show formats are extremely rapid fire. And we see in Chelsea that she is lowering her standards incredibly low. Even Laura and Jeremy, we talked about a little bit on our last episode. How do you feel about having really high standards during such a fast process, or low standards during such a fast process?
I think you should start out with going ahead and saying, just like with any sort of negotiation, I feel like getting into a relationship is kind of like a negotiation. You should have your wish list. You should have it like, this is what I would want if I could have everything the way that I think I want, but also knowing in the back of your mind that what you think you want may not be what, not just what you don't, what you get, but it's also may not be what you really need. So you are open to the idea of, I'm going to have this wish list, and then realizing that maybe if this person doesn't have it, but they do have this other
something else
that I might swap it out. Again, very much like a negotiation.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think hopefully Natasha comes back. It's weird. That's really interesting. I think when we talk about Chelsea, when we talk about Laura, there were two very specific instances that we were talking about. Chelsea had an instance where she said, "I'm easy. I'm the easy girl." She really wants to be cool. We see it in her reaction to Jimmy complimenting AD's body, low-key objectifying AD, but you know, that's another question we'll get to later. And then we see Laura when Jeremy is talking about having Christmas matching pajamas and like a very like Hallmark movie type of Christmas that he seems like he just plucked out of a novel or out of a Hallmark movie, and not very specific. We found that to be very troubling. I think Chelsea's need to be the cool girl is a pretty troubling one. Do you find it to be?
Yeah, yeah? You're right, because what it ends up coming across as is that when she does share that something is bothering her, mm-hmm. it seemingly comes out of nowhere. And she
right.
easily now she I could tell that she was really trying to hold her ground.
But yeah, quickly, right.
When he wasn't giving her, I guess, the reaction that she wanted, which I did like his reaction. I thought it was very measured. I thought he seemed like he was tuned in with what she was saying, and he was not telling her no, 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 or yes, I yeah. did. He was just kind of like,
right.
what's going on here? Like, I'm here for you. I think he was cutting through her concern and saying, okay, are you wondering if I'm still into you? Okay, well, then I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, he was skipping mm-hmm. through a lot of it. But mm-hmm. I think what he didn't say that I think she really needed to hear was that mm-hmm. he finds her more attractive than anyone else.
Yep.
Because that's mm-hmm. what seems to be important to her right now, which mm-hmm. makes sense to a degree. Mm-hmm. But what he was trying to get her was what he thinks she actually needs, which is to say, I want you. I've yeah. chosen you. I
yeah.
love you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which all sounds like so amazing to the viewer. We're like, oh, that's so great. But I think what she really wanted to hear was that I find you more attractive than everyone else, which
right.
that may not be true.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like in real life, maybe your partner isn't the most attractive mm-hmm. you know, person that's out there. There's always mm-hmm. somebody who has better this or that, you know, that's mm-hmm. how it is.
Mm-hmm,
so I'm
mm-hmm.
glad that he didn't give in to that, because I think that could have been a lie.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And I think he's going to be tested very soon.
I think so too. I think he's tested all the time. We talked about it last episode, how he's always on the defense with Chelsea.
I know.
It's going to get old. Yeah. Oh, for both of them. Right. It's going to get old. Yeah. Oh my gosh. You know what? Let's get to wait. Natasha, you back? Oh no, is she frozen again?
She's frozen again.
Oh no, Spectrum. You know, the Spectrum internet has a hold on New York City that is just terrible. Oh, where are you calling from? That's where we are.
I'm in Houston.
Oh, nice.
We don't have Spectrum.
Yeah. Terrible. Nice. You know what? Let me ask the other question about Jimmy and Chelsea. So Jimmy ended up choosing Chelsea, right? Just as Jimmy was torn between two women, Chelsea mm-hmm. was torn between two men. Jimmy, who was unsure about it till the very end, and then Trevor, who was just all in, ready to go. And then we had Jessica, who was also all in, ready to go on Jimmy. And for us as viewers, we're watching, we're saying, obviously, the person who's the for sure bet is who you should go with. Do you think this is a case of this is too good to be true, or a fear of stability? Or do you think this is people actually really weighing out who do I love more? Quotations for the audio listeners.
So again, I feel like they're going with, well, what's ideal? You know, in this situation, the risk isn't that high to them at that point, because they're literally on day 3 or day 4 or day 5. So
right.
I know that the reality and the weight of their decision really hits them until later on in the process. So at this point, they're probably like, oh my gosh, I have this real chemistry, attraction, we can talk. We feel like, oh my gosh, we might, you know, we're going to be all over each other.
Yeah.
And they're nice. And they show all the right things. I think it would be very difficult And it would be very difficult to make that decision without it being still a little bit of a crapshoot, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's ultimately, yeah. I feel like it is. And I bet making those decisions between two people that you feel very strongly, it's got to come down to not at all like, oh, well, they said this one thing in that last date, a lot like, you know, what Trevor was trying to get at is like, did I say something like, had you already decided? Like, because I'm sure they feel so strongly to the extent that they can, that they're like, it's got to be the one thing. Cause at that point, then people are starting to compare. You're making comparisons.
Oh, yeah.
And then, a lot like when you're trying to figure out what job to take.
Right.
What are the benefits? What's in, you know, what are the perks? What are, so I'm really, I feel very badly for them that they had to do that, but how nice that they, what a nice experience for them to be able to say, gosh, I got very close to two people in a few days when maybe my dating history has sucked for the past 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's how Chelsea felt. She definitely felt, and she wasn't boisterous about it, but her feeling so like, I am chosen by these two men, just even for that 48 hours, must have felt amazing for her. I was happy for her that she got that experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even Trevor and Jessica both physically are so like phenotypically what people go for, like out at bars or even on dating apps or social media and things like that. They're very much universally acceptable and very, very attractive people. For them to be going through the opposite experience of being in a love triangle and seeing their reactions was also really interesting, especially Jessica's. Jessica, she really felt away.
Can we please talk about that?
Let's talk about the EpiPen. Let's talk about it.
I was like, the confidence is strong with this one. But I also think, I mean, I think it shows an ugly side to her.
Okay. Tell me about that, because we have different theories on this, Natasha and I. I think it's because she was the mama bear of the house, right? She came in, she was gluing everybody's lashes, she was curling everybody's hair, and they got around her and they were like, Jimmy doesn't love you. How dare he? Like, I think that she got a lot of that confidence backed from those girls in that circle when she was crying after Chelsea came in and said, okay, this is my guy. What do you think though, how Jessica's like ego came into that?
So I think it got sad when she started to basically say, well, between the two of us, like I felt like it was very much a comparison because obviously she gets to see Chelsea.
Oh.
So I think she's basically saying, well, you're going to eat your words because I'm much better looking.
Yeah.
Even though she didn't say it, I can't help that that's what she was trying to say. Cause otherwise she would have, if she didn't feel that way, she wouldn't have brought that up.
Because
if she felt like he was going to be extremely pleased with the way that she looked, then why would she bring up her own looks? You know?
Yeah.
I think if anything, she should have stuck with, you know, I would be a great partner, you know, I guess in that way, there's just no like perfect way to respond to rejection. I just really didn't like that she was bringing that up almost like against the entire experiment, which is that it's supposed to be not about looks. Well, then why should she have said that? And was she expecting him to just turn around and be like, oh, did I make a mistake? Cause you're better looking? Like that's not
good. I know. And that's exactly what you said. Not what this experiment is supposed to be about. And we've seen over, especially season 6, we've seen a lot of trying, like people trying to indicate how they look.
I was surprised because I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't even know you could say what ethnicity you're from or, you know, like what your hair looks like. I don't know.
Yes.
Even I was watching with one of my kids and they were like, oh, I didn't know that they were able to do that. What's stopping them from just painting a full on picture? And I was like, no, I mean, they can't be like, don't remember that you heard that. Like,
no, he is stuck on Megan Fox. Jimmy is stuck. He's like, I am with Megan Fox. Here we go. Oh my God. I think it's, and some of these indicators I think are out of safety. Natasha and I were just talking about this. like AD was doing it out of safety. She was like, okay, this is a white man from a small town of 600 people. I'm black. Do you know I'm black? Is that a problem for you? Like that, that's like a safety question. But saying who you are compared to celebrity lookalike wise seems to be, it seemed almost like she was trying to get a one up on something, or like she was trying to, maybe she was trying to get to know what he looked like. Maybe. I don't know.
I think it was a mistake. I feel like whether it's true or not, which some people will probably say in certain angles, or yeah, we can see that, or maybe I mean, people have given me some really amazing doppelgangers that I'm like, y'all are just nice.
What are some of yours?
Oh gosh, no, I can't do that. I know better.
God, that's funny.
But usually they're very complimentary, I think. But I would never tell somebody that I'm dating, hey, I think I, because not only that, but then you have a connotation of their own personality and how that might be. So I don't know. I feel like in this situation, Chelsea did kind of mess up by alluding to something that I think in, generally speaking, a lot of men would say, oh, that's a positive thing, or that's an attractive thing. And I think she probably didn't need to have that comparison made the first time that he looked at her.
Right.
As
right.
As she is compared to, you know, somebody who's like less than the 10th percentile of the population of the world.
Yeah.
She might not be as gorgeous. She might be an 8 instead of a 9, you know?
Right. And I think we've talked about this also on the pod, that after they saw each other, all these insecurities about her physical appearance rose up for Chelsea. And while Jimmy has the worst case of word vomit we've seen in a long time, there still remains a question, right? When Chelsea is saying that she feels uncomfy, icky, that she is trying to defend herself, that she doesn't feel good in a bathing suit, that she has been cheated on. How much of those insecurities is she just supposed to bring and put on Jimmy's plate? And how many should she have worked out before she even got to the pods?
That's a great question. I don't think that relying on anyone else to make you love you or feel good about you is ever a good idea. I also think that she could have told him, like, hey, I know you're going to be around. I know the women that we're about to be around. I want you to know, I recognize that like everybody is very unique. They're all gorgeous in their own ways. One thing that you don't know about me is that I don't want to be compared to other women. Or even saying, and it, you know, I won't like it if you're flirting with other women. So again, things that maybe some people would say, well, yeah, but for Jimmy, he's just like, let me just be transparent. If he feels like he's not being malicious, he probably is just going to say it. Cause it's like, well, I didn't mean anything terrible by it, or I don't have a bad will. But I think that would have been something that she should have shared with him. Like, hey, in the past, I've had men compare me to other women. I don't like it. Good, bad, whatever. Even if you're telling me that I'm better looking, I don't want to hear it. That doesn't work for me. It doesn't help. So I think she could have done that. And I think he could have said, and at least acknowledged, like, yeah, I'm a flirt. I love hanging around women. I love hanging around beautiful women. It's, you know, but just know, like, if it gets out of hand, just let me know, or I'll try to dial it back. Again, I feel like it's a train wreck about to happen with what's going to be going on with like Jessica. And then of course, what's going on with Chelsea. I just feel like it's like, oh gosh, this is just terrible. But to answer your question, things that honestly, I find it very difficult to imagine being somebody who joins a reality TV show like these and having any really big body image issues or physical attraction insecurities. I just can't imagine that they're not going to trigger, whether or not they mean to.
Yeah, I think, sorry, I'm back. I've been through the...
You're back! Yay!
The wormhole of technical difficulties, Jesus. But yeah, I think what I recognize with Chelsea and Jimmy, what we're really watching is like two strangers. Like it really highlighted, they do not know each other. He's triggering her, he doesn't know. You know, she's feeling triggered by things that she, I guess, is now realizing she never really shared with him. And so it's just like, you're literally watching two people kind of like playing, like dancing around each other in a way that very much highlights they're strangers and they really don't know each other. And it's uncomfortable to watch.
Well, and I think the problem with them is that when they're alone, it's like 85% okay. But the other 15 is him being open and honest, which we all really ask for in relationships. We're like, we like that you're sharing, you're being honest. Mm-hmm. But it's the piece that he shares that creates tension within her.
Right.
It feeds this insecurity. So unless she's going to ask him to just stop, she needs to start taking what he's saying and really processing it in order to then turn it into something that is beneficial to the relationship, like a solution, something versus it turning into just eating away at her. And we'll slowly, hopefully not, but it seems like we'll slowly see her like turning into like a secondary person in her own relationship.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Oof.
Mm-hmm. But also with Chelsea, it's seeing as if there's a lot of validation as well that she'll need to like feel good. And you know, how much of that validation seeking and requirement is, I guess, fair, on Jimmy? How much is it gonna, start to really impact the relationship and maybe start to backfire as well is another question I have.
Unique to the Love is Blind participants is that they still have a decision to make. So and that's a very relevant question to ask, which is, are you still into me more than anyone else?
Yeah.
That is something that they all have to be able to answer definitively when they're at the altar. Like they need to know that and making that decision. So under normal circumstances, I would be like, oh gosh, that's awful. You shouldn't have to be seeking this validation from your partner, you know, every single day. That sounds really obnoxious, but also just sad in real life situations. But in this real life situation, I feel like it's integral and it's appropriate. To the extent that she does it, and maybe the way that she does it, which is like, I'm going to ask and force you to give it to me. I'm not just going to take it and say, thank you. I'm going to be like, okay, well now I need proof.
Yeah.
Well, there is no proof. You cannot prove that you're most attracted to the person in front of you because there's always the question of, well, the what if? That's why I don't think that that's the question that Chelsea needs to be asking. Mm-hmm. It should be more along the lines of, are you still feeling good about our partnership? Do you have any lingering questions? I'm not going to check in with you about this until you see Jessica, the other person you had a real connection with, and then we'll talk about it then. Like I feel like that's the only way to get through this is to acknowledge, yes, there will be check-in points, not all the time, you know?
Right. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. So it's like asking the right questions, and then the fact that they're coming from a love triangle. There's another woman out there lurking in the midst that at some point he
on Instagram.
See. Yes. Yeah, maybe waiting until after and let him really show his ass after he meets with her, and then let's check in again and talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay, can we talk about Clay for a second now? So Clay is, he's suave, he's the player type, he's the fuckboy type, you know, he's claiming he's going through a reformation now that he's found AD. The biggest red flag we see with play is he's made it very evident, he's been very honest, honestly, in the pods, that physical attraction and a woman's looks, specifically a woman having a big butt, big lips, being petite, that is very important to him. Lucky for him, AD fits those qualities, so he's happy as a clam. We've seen on several seasons of Love is Blind a guy meeting a woman who's not physically his type or he's not physically attracted to outside of the pods, and their relationship suffers as a result. You know, we have Deep D and Shake, we have Taylor from last season, Taylor and JP, Zenob and Cole. We have always heard these things, you know, men are visual creatures. To us, it feels like a saying that kind of excuses men for being shallow or very focused on physical attributes. So my question is there truth to these sayings? Men, you know, all, you know, men fall in love with their eyes, men are visual creatures. Is there truth to these things, or is this just a lie created by the patriarchy to keep us the standard of beauty as women?
Yep.
Well, I don't think that we can believe that monogamy is the ideal and also believe that men are just visual creatures. We can't have it all. I think that it's so important to understand that, like, we're all having to compromise every day, all of our choices. There are always other options. If we make it seem like that is not the case, then we fall into this trap of not thinking that we need to work in our relationships, not thinking that we need to work on our confidence, that we need to work on our, you know, self-improvement. And I feel like with Clay, he does kind of remind me of like a Woody, where I would have thought like,
oh, Woody,
man, I don't really know. Woody being from Married at First Sight.
Married at First Sight.
I don't know. There was kind of like all signs point to he is a great guy, but is he ready? He's saying he's ready.
Yeah.
His friends are like, I don't know. His family's saying, are you ready? I mean, there was something that I think everyone saw, which was that he's a romantic. And that was what I was like, okay, well, if we find the right person for him, all of that is just going to click. Like, he wants somebody to adore. I think it's the same thing with Clay. Now, one thing that people might notice about him is that he didn't mention the thing about like taking her to the gym if she were to start to gain weight. While that sounds awful, I think we also have to remember that he's saying, I'm willing to walk the walk. Like, I'm doing what I need to do to make sure that I stay in shape. And so many people do that where they're like, well, if I'm willing to do it, then I'm expecting that from you. I can't say that that's wrong. It can be unhealthy if that's if it becomes.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Conditional. You know, love ends up being
emotional.
But he didn't say, like, you know, well, if you gain weight, then we're done. I think he's saying, well, if you gain weight, I'm going to do what most people who look like him do, which is, let's see what we can do to figure this out and correct course. It is such a, it's such a nasty topic. I see it all the time when people are talking about a physical attraction and sexual attraction due to physical attraction. And or the lack thereof. I don't, I don't know if Clay would actually be that person who's like, nope, like, don't eat that. Don't do this. Don't do that. I don't know if that would be him. But mm-hmm. for him to say, well, we would go to the gym. I feel like that's a very normal way to look at, like, if you felt like you were going in an unhealthy way, like if you started eating too much candy, if somebody said, well, I'd give you more vegetables, we wouldn't be like, how dare you? Like, mm-hmm. what? That is so wrong. It's a very, very difficult topic that I think a lot of couples really struggle with, especially when you're together for a long time, like people who believe in monogamy and want monogamy, we are planning mm-hmm. on being together for a very long time. And mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of changes that we have to figure out along the way.
Yeah, so, that's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. So it's less about, I guess your interpretation of that scene is less about Clay being so caught up on just, you know, falling in love with his eyes and just being attracted as a visual, you know, men being a visual creature, being visual creatures, but more so him having his own, I guess, preconceived expectations as to someone's going to continue to show up in a relationship physically.
So that's like giving it the very nice stance, right? That's the nice slant mm-hmm. to it. I think mm-hmm. the other piece that maybe we haven't mentioned is that when he shared with the other men how he thought about things, I think he started to realize, like, oh, wait a minute. What I've done and what I've expected in the past hasn't worked. Oh my gosh, I'm going to mess up this opportunity mm-hmm. if that's what I am weighing heavily in my right. decision-making process. Mm-hmm. So I think that was actually more of an eye-opening experience for him, was realizing, oh, I'm going way too much into the looks. What if this person happens to be my person and maybe they don't mm-hmm. look like what I've expected? Mm-hmm. And the truth mm-hmm. is, we still don't know that she looks like what he expected.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Still, I know that he's given her enough kind of like attention, but let me mm-hmm. just tell you, she kind of demands it too. So
yeah, she does.
Knows how much of it is coming from her and how much of it is coming from him.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting that you, when you talk about the gym conversation, it hit, I think, differently for a lot of female viewers watching, because AD brought up pregnancy. And when she brought up, well, I'm going to change, my body is going to change, and he said, well, it has to revert and I'll go with you. You know,
I've been getting water when that
happened. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. Well, I feel like when somebody says something like that, it's almost like they've never seen anyone pregnant before, or he's just unaware. But I know it's possible for it to happen, to go back.
Right.
For women right. to have, obviously it never goes back. It's always different. Yeah. I mean, things right. are completely altered inside. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think what I would have asked if I was on her end, I would have said, so are you saying that that's something that you would like, or are you saying that mm-hmm. would demand? Because require. I can't even tell you that I can even get pregnant. So what are you
right?
yeah, takes right. all the way back.
Yeah, yeah.
And just mm-hmm. reminding him, there are no givens with any of this. So, mm-hmm. like, I need to know that you're in it for more than just the way that my waist measures. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Before. I mean, he's said this before and after he met her and on Love is Blind and Married at First Sight, you don't see the person before you make the commitment. And when we see these conversations happen with men, I think for women who are in bigger bodies watching and for women who are in bigger bodies casted, do you think that women in larger bodies, especially ones like AD, like Alexis, where that body keeps on giving, okay, the older you get, it keeps on giving, do you think that those women are safe in these casting processes, or do you think they should not even bother signing up?
I think the reality of it is that men are much pickier than women. Mm. And if you're somebody who is going to be affected by anyone else's opinion, even mm-hmm. your doctors, or, you know, like if there's anybody mm-hmm. if there's anybody out there that could change your mind about the way that you feel about yourself based off of their judgment, these shows are not for you. You have to be strong, steadfast, and confident that someone else's opinion does not mean that it doesn't equal yours. And it doesn't, it's not something that you take in and digest and process as your own experience. But that can only happen to an extent, because if you're in a partnership, what your partner thinks of you and how, and what they feel about, you know, growing with you and even being in love with you, I feel like that does matter. So it's really tough dance to keep up with. But if you at all have any insecurities, if you can't go online and see somebody say something like, oh, I don't like that color on you, or why on earth are you wearing those shoes? You're not going to be able to handle something like this. And you need to stay away. You need to stay away. Because that is nice compared to what's really some people are out there to do, is like, that's their, they do it like it's their job.
Right. Do you think men are ready for, because I think women are ready. We see Kenneth and Brittany are fine. And Ken's wearing t-shirts at the pool. Kenneth's not, you know, like a big buff Trevor type. So I think women are ready. Do you think men are even ready for the possibility of someone in a body that is not their ideal on the other side of those walls?
I think in these situations, they need to have had experiences where they've experienced strong feelings, attraction, sexual attraction to a variety of body shapes and sizes and ethnicities. That's literally the point of these shows, is to say, hey, it could be anyone other than somebody, if you've chosen somebody who isn't of the same sex or gender,
you know? Right.
Other than that, like, you need to be okay with that. But I think that there are safer, quote unquote, ranges of phenotypes and body types and even personality types. We saw that with Matthew. OMG, what was he doing there? His personality type was not suited for this. I think it's also one of those things where they try to be as reflective of so many different people, but there are certain things that just tend to work better. And of course, when you have a small group of people, you know, like they do, they want to try to get as many possibilities out there.
So really, it really starts with casting. Like, casting, what I'm hearing is like casting, all people, but if we're talking women, women who are confident, self-assured in their bodies, not going to be too impacted by someone else's opinion because their opinion of themselves is already so strong. And then casting men who have experience before this show of dating women in different body types or different races or insert whatever diversity category, right? So it's, it really starts there.
Well, and let me tell you, because I know the casting people, I feel like at least a lot of them, I know that they really strive to do that. I don't think they want anyone to be negatively impacted in a very long-term way by the experience. But again, we never know what people are going to say. For instance, the Jessica thing, that is not something that, I mean, I wouldn't have seen that as a quality that casting would have liked, but it happened, right? It came out that way. She's assured of herself. She's very like confident. That's a great thing. But when it comes out in that way, which again, we just can't foresee.
It's true. So speaking of Jessica, we are witnessing someone on Love is Blind we've never seen before, which is our first parent. Jessica, apparently this has happened on Love is Blind Brazil, but not on Love is Blind US. So yeah, Jessica, she's 28. She has a 10-year-old daughter. None of the other men in the pods are fathers themselves, to our knowledge. All the men have come into this process to find love, presumably with women who are single and child-free. That's been the history of Love is Blind. So I'm assuming that's how they're coming in, thinking this process will be. So Jessica was obviously a curveball thrown in this season. We've never seen a single parent on Married at First Sight, I think, either, right? So watching Jessica's like vetting process, or lack thereof, is a bit uncomfortable for a lot of us. And of course, you know, we got one of the guys falling in love with her, right? Jimmy.
Now, I guess I'm wondering, mm-hmm. why did you feel like the vetting process wasn't good? Why? What happened that would make you
think? If I'm not a parent, so I can only speak from my hypothetical, but as someone coming in for love, yes, I'm looking for love, but I'm also vetting potential stepfathers, right, for my
child. Oh, I see what you mean. I thought that, okay, mm-hmm. I see what you mean. Like the choice that the show made to include somebody, is that mm-hmm. what you, because it's not like she lied about it. So.
No, not that she lied about it.
Mm-mm. Okay, they knew.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Okay, I understand.
But watching her process, her vetting process, and with Jimmy, it seems like she's all in on this guy who mm-hmm. is very on the fence about her, but
stepfatherhood.
Stepfatherhood, exactly. So just a little uncomfortable seeing how sure she is of somebody to fill a role that is so huge. So Jimmy falls for her, right? And then we kind of see him pull a switcheroo at the end. He chooses Chelsea, the other woman. And you would think because part of it is, you know, not being ready to be a stepfather overnight. Yeah. And we see Jessica like roast him, right? She goes in on him, which I personally didn't find her reaction to be very fair. Are reality dating shows a place for single parents? What considerations should be taken into account when you're a parent coming into this process? How could this at all be fair for all of the parties involved?
I mean, as if we're going very black and white just from this situation, I would say in general, absolutely not. I feel very strongly that
wow.
this sort of making these decisions, it is already hard enough when you do have the opportunity to balance and mix someone and fold someone into your life. It's already very difficult to do that in a way that is as respectful and as caring as possible. I think in these situations, it is something that I brought up when I was on the show that I would not be a part of anything that had to do with having minor kids, especially kids mm-hmm. that live in your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that to me, I feel like it just doesn't fit with who I am, with my ethics as a licensed marriage and family therapist. And mm-hmm. it's wow. just not ideal. I'm mm-hmm. sure that her circumstances and her situation were very, you know, the specifics of it and details were probably taken into consideration.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I just don't think that this is the place to do that. I feel like you're not given enough time. You're not given enough mm-hmm. information. Mm-hmm. That said, in real life, there are lots of people who date without their kids even knowing.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah.
The fact that, you know, these people have not lived together. I mean, all of that happens in real life where you're not mm-hmm. living together True. And you're dating and you have kids. And some people will say, I'll never live with you as long as my kid is living with me. You know, mm-hmm. we can be mm-hmm. married and we're still not going to live together. I mean, people make mm-hmm. whatever choices they want to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's again, such a crapshoot. I would not think that it's wise to bring a kid into it. Doesn't mean that she doesn't have the best intentions. Doesn't mean that she mm-hmm. didn't have any safeguards. She might have a mm-hmm. whole plan for how to make this man, whoever mm-hmm. it ends up being, how to kind of bring them into her family and do it in a right. way that is respectful. But mm-hmm. it just doesn't seem like you can make that decision to marry somebody without in such a quick way, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and all the while just, again, vetting somebody as a father, I don't know. It's very, very tough. And it just seems like yeah. there's so many hard things already to bring that factor into it. Just doesn't seem wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't seem wise. I think that's the best the best way to put it. It just yeah. seems a little too, I don't know, flippant or too risky, honestly.
Yeah,
risky is the word. Risky is the yeah. word. And again, she might have discussed it with everyone. She might have had mm-hmm. a plan for like, well,
right.
Whenever he's around, you know, I'll only bring him around when she's with her dad. Like we don't
yeah.
know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it just seems a little risky.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, speaking of babies, Clay and AD, Clay is seemingly getting in touch with his emotional side for the first time ever. You mentioned this previously, Dr. Viviana, when he was walking around the pods, explaining back his reactions to AD and realizing how he was self-sabotaging. He's crying for the first time in years. He's talking about going to therapy with AD, and he's very self-aware about his very large ego. And not only is AD now seemingly responsible for this man's level of emotional intelligence that he's created thus far in the past 15 days, I think they've known each other, but he said multiple times, "I'm a baby," to her and to us multiple times on the show. And it's really putting AD in this position of being motherly and him being a son. What are the downsides to this kind of dynamic in couples that you have seen on and off camera? And how can someone not slip into that dynamic when dealing with somebody with such low levels of emotional intelligence and discovery, like an emotional discovery that he's having?
Mm-hmm. I've seen that it's not sexy.
Nope.
and that their female partners who identify kind of in that motherly role will resent them for it.
Yep.
And especially once they have their own children who actually do require mothering, it becomes a real problem. Now, I think it's always great to have somebody be able to take the lead in different factors and different facets of your relationship and of your life. For instance, maybe she's able to communicate better than he does. That's not to say like, oh, that's not fair to her. But I think it's important for him to strive to learn and to change and to grow. We can't tell somebody they need to be fully formed. Somebody said the words, he needs to be fully potenched. But I do think it's important to be able to say, hey, I can't lead and only lead in this way. I can't bring you, I can't pull you. Like you have to be a willing partner that's willing to stand next to me and ask questions along the way. I think a lot of people forget, like asking questions is something we should be doing in every part of our lives. Whether, you know, if you don't know something, you should be asking versus expecting someone to just know and assume and explain away behavior. The fact that he's saying, I'm a baby. It's like, what do you mean?
And
what are you getting at? And it almost like a warning.
It does feel like a warning.
Prepare yourself. I'm a baby. I don't like it, especially on these shows where they've just met each other, when they're like, I am this.
Yes. Yeah.
I am this.
Yeah.
Just so you know, I am this. No, you're that way right now and under certain circumstances, but that's not who you are.
Yeah.
So a lot more to discover there, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's interesting what you say about AD just having resentment against him, that resentment kind of building up. I think Jimmy is having a very similar experience with resentment building up, with having to constantly defend himself. And seeing those two dynamics working so hard, both of them on this honeymoon, has been really interesting for both Natasha and I to kind of analyze. I'm so glad you're here to answer these questions for us. And it does feel like a warning of what's to come. And it also feels like Clay is doing a lot of statements and not a lot of questions. He's saying a lot of like, oh, you can't get fat, period. Like, oh, you can't do this, period. And then AD has to come back to him and say, okay, you can't say that. Okay, let's break this down. Okay, where did you learn that from? And that's probably where the resentment is building up, right? Because he's not asking questions. He's making statements.
Yeah, making these definitive statements that no one can be held to. And that's obviously going to make her wonder, well, look, I want to be with somebody that I can grow with, that appreciates who I already am, that mm-hmm. can, you know, to an extent, challenge me when I need it, but something that I can't help. I don't need challenging on that. I don't need pushing towards that. Nobody needs to have standards that literally cannot be held.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I keep bringing it back to baths, but same thing happened with Olajuwon and Katina,
mm-hmm. you know,
where I was like, these standards, it doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense in a healthy relationship to have so much hinge on one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I guarantee that if you ask 9 out of 10 men and you said, you know, would you prefer to have a woman who respects you and talks to you nicely, or a woman who has a size 25-inch waist post-pregnancy? I'm going to tell you, I know a lot of them, and they would say, mm-hmm. I want the nice woman that treats me well and respects me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, God. The verdict is out with Clay. I feel like he's on he's a polarizing. Journey. He's kind of on a journey seemingly, but we'll see.
The trajectory seems positive, but we don't
know. Right. But we don't know. The verdict is out on whether we can trust him or
AD,
not.
I will say, I think that AD might need to tone it down a little bit, because he might be also feeding off of her energy that, like, I'm all that.
And yeah,
that's what I'm bringing to this.
Okay.
And I think he's also like, yeah, you're all that. But I think he might also play into this dynamic that happens often with Love is Blind, which is like, well, let me bring you off of your pedestal, because I want to feel wanted by you too. So playing off of this kind of like, she's coming very strong with the physical,
mm-hmm.
and saying like, you should appreciate this. And he might be like, well, let me just tell you why that's nice, but I'm going to bring you down a peg.
Bring you down.
And I don't think, you know, I feel like that's, again, the train wreck waiting to happen.
I know. I mean, he's a self-proclaimed egomaniac, so that would not shock me if that is exactly what's happening right now.
Well, and then just imagine if she gets defensive and starts tearing his looks down, boom, it's over.
Right, because she said she's dated ballers, she's dated this one and that one. Like, I think even what Matthew said was really interesting when he said, this is the best day of your life and I was supposed to give it to you. These expectations that men are having for their own delivery is as if no one else exists in the world.
I cringe so hard.
Physically losing it,
God. Oh,
I mean, obviously,
man.
We only saw parts of it, but the parts that we saw, I cringe.
Not great. Yeah.
No, not great. Not at all. Gosh. Not at all.
Dr. Viviana, thank you so much for joining us.
This was so much fun.
We could talk endlessly, but we have many more episodes to get through. We're still judging these people. We're still getting to learn them. So thank you for joining us for these first 6 episodes dissecting what we're seeing. This was really, really helpful to us as recappers, and I'm sure to the audience also trying to make sense of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I love using what I do in so many different ways. So thank you for making it fun today, and I appreciate it. And I can't wait to see what happens on the rest of the season of Love is Blind.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Can you let people know where they can find you, keep in touch with you, any exciting things going on in your world that you want to share?
I stay very busy in the love department. I'm always trying to bring connection and intimacy to your lives. Everything can be found at drviviana.com. That's drviviana.com. And on my socials, please follow me at Dr. Viviana.
Nice.
Yeah.
And y'all will get 15% off the audiobook and the ebook.
Oh, awesome. Oh, thank you
so
much.
Thank you. Shout out. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay. As promised. Potomac friend.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. After the Super Bowl. A little Super Bowl break.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So we get NECA and Wendy.
Yeah.
Meeting up. Mm-hmm. I kind of missed the first 10 minutes of the episode. So I only saw when they sat down. So I didn't see their intros or.
Oh, I mean, they pretty much just said NECA actually came to the conclusion during her devotional, like, we could have been two Nigerian bad bitches, princesses running around, and we're not now. And I was like, damn, girl, the iron in these knees of you not knowing that this is your fault, but whatever.
I'm putting blame on both of them.
And Ashley.
Mm-hmm. And Ashley, it was just doomed to fail from Jump Street. So
Yeah.
But yeah, they sit down, they have a conversation. NECA just keeps reiterating, your mom submitted my name to a shrine. She submitted my name to a shrine that's impacted my family. Mm-hmm. Wendy's like, you called my mom a witch.
A witch.
That's infected my family.
Yeah.
And then Wendy definitely played like the kids card.
I know. Kids. Yeah.
Them, so anything you say is done.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, this affects their grandma who watches them every Wednesday night. And therefore you came for my children. Girl, that is not what happened here.
And it's just, NECA doesn't have kids, so she can't say anything back.
Exactly.
Just sit there.
Exactly.
Wendy knew that.
Yep.
Wendy knew that.
Exactly.
Just so crazy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Wendy says, you know, I'm moving forward. You don't want peace. And NECA's like, you don't want peace. It's just like she said, she said.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not getting anywhere.
Yeah. It's very odd. I've never seen this. Or I haven't seen this on Housewives in a long time, where they don't even agree to disagree. They just disagree.
disagree.
And assume that the other person is the bigger person. Like, they assume that they are the bigger person and the other person just won't meet them. It's kind of like Kelly Ben Simone and Bethany. That's kind of what it's giving to me.
Okay. Yeah, I think the way you put it, they won't even agree to disagree. Like, they just refuse to agree, even on a disagreement. Like,
They
don't want to give it to each other at all. Yeah.
Nope.
Oh, my God. And then we had a little moment of NECA on camera talking to one of the producers, like, crying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying. Mm-hmm. She's not giving me anything. And Wendy just...
I mean, Wendy's
trying to
mad,
secure... But... She's mad, but she's also trying to secure this girl not coming back for a second season.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Like,
we're not doing
this. Yeah.
I refuse to engage. I'm not going to come to peace with you at all.
Yeah. Which I'm like, I don't want her back either, Wendy.
I'm good too. I'm actually kind of good. I've already like mourned the princesses
the fantasy.
Like, I've mourned it. It's not happening. It is what it is. And NECA's given us nothing else otherwise, so she can definitely go. So. What else we got? Grace is graduating. Grace is going off.
Oh my God! And I didn't realize she's just a year older than the other two. So the other two are going off next year. Giselle, you better get on Hinge, lady.
You better find you a man and bring him on the damn show, because your storylines are gone,
gone.
Oh my, that's true. I forgot the other two are about to be seniors, so they're gonna be gone next year.
Yep.
Oh my God. So we have the ladies, they're off to DR, Dominican Republic.
Yep. Which I am so tired of these people. I'm so tired. Natasha, when I tell you I'm so tired of these people going to these regular locations.
I know.
Regular. My God. I know somebody in Tulum right now. Shout out to Vanessa, she's a listener.
Okay.
Why? Why are we going to these 4-hour flights? I need us. You know what I'm saying? I need a flight with a meal. Okay.
From DC to DR, that dead ass is like 4 hours. Ain't going nowhere, ladies. Like,
can we at least go to Curacao? You know what I mean? Can we at least go somewhere a little different?
British Virgin Islands. So, you know? Mediterranean.
Yes.
No, something. Yeah. I get it.
Right.
I definitely get it. So they arrive in DR, they're taking this bus to the resort, and they're having this conversation about these men's golf trips to DR.
Ray
is like, my husband proponent. Comes every year. Karen and Ray, like these, like a world of these men, grown men, going on golf trips to the Dominican Republic.
You know, I'm not like a golf fan, right? But both of us have like gone and learned golf. I think both of our dads are fans of golf.
For sure.
I've never in all my 34 years of life seen a PGA tour in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, I don't think.
You know, it's not like some big golf spot. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You know what I'm
saying?
They
definitely have golf courses for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think of it as like a golf destination. At least I don't. I don't know.
Me either. It's a little hot. Don't you think it's a little hot for that? Hot. For an 18-hole game that lasts like 12 hours? I feel
forever.
Like
forever.
It's a little hot for that. And so that makes me very suspicious.
A little sus. You know what? Just a little bit.
What the DR has plentiful of is booty cheeks. That is what the DR has plenty of.
Yep. But yeah, I was dying when Mia was like, well, I was one of the girls on the golf trip.
Right?
Like, of course you were. Of course you've been to DR on a men's golf trip. Jesus. Right. Oh, jeez. Oh my god. Oh, so we hear about that whole world and then Karen's story about Ray. Ray on this golf, on a previous golf trip, how she called the hotel room and old lady picked up the phone.
Yeah. And he said it was the cleaning lady.
Housekeeping.
I agree with Giselle. If you are indeed a person who cleans hotel rooms and you answer the phone. Please say that you answered the phone. I've never heard of that before.
I've never heard that either. For what reason would they be answering the phone?
Exactly. What For they what don't reason? They got to get in and out. They're cleaning 18,000 rooms a day. On you clean rooms. You know how it is. It's a hustle.
It's a hustle. You come in, you clean the room, you bounce. Like they're for what reason are they answering the phone? These phones have voicemails. You can leave messages down at the desk. The desk. So the housekeeper answering to take down a message just doesn't. There's no need ever.
No.
That just doesn't happen.
Like, yeah.
It just doesn't happen. So, yeah, Ray, what the hell were you doing?
And Karen, what were you doing telling that story?
That too, girl. You should have died with that story. I don't know why she told them that. Because all of them are looking sideways like, what? Oh my God. Now they get to the resort. Big drama over the rooms, of course.
Per usual. Because these girls always take the hard way out. There's always a double.
Always a double. Always a room with twin beds. Who wants that room?
The flashback to the twin beds in Delaware.
Twin beds, yes.
The PTSD I got from the twin beds in Delaware.
Oh, God. Man. They're like cribs. They're like cribs without the sides. Like, they were really tiny. They didn't even look long enough. Like, they look like literal toddler size mattresses. Like, in what world is anybody going to be happy with that
room?
Why can't we book enough spaces? Why are we inviting extra people? Love Kiana. Happy she's here.
So happy.
Why are we inviting extra people if we don't have enough beds for everybody to be happy?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. So Karen is like talking with the hostess.
Oh, yeah, with the manager.
Room.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then Ashley's like, you can have my room, Karen. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Karen is just fighting with Robin. They're going back and forth.
Yeah, picking fights.
Picking fights over this damn room situation. Meanwhile, Kiana's sick. Nobody's checking on her.
I know. Oh my God.
Her ulcer is like acting up. Nobody's checking on Kiana. She's like trying to find a bathroom. No one's trying to help. Like, oh my God. But yeah, the room situation is just these ladies. It's too much. And then this was so stupid, just to cap off the episode. This was so dumb.
God.
Giselle is so hungry for storylines.
I know. It's so bad. This is like, if it was anybody except for Giselle, she'd get fired. Like, this is crazy.
Candace walked off. She's like, this is
absolutely. She gets 1,000% away with agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's getting away with murder. She's giving us nothing about her life, but she's here trying to stir drama between other castmates to create drama that will then be her storyline somehow, some way. What? That was so stupid. This whole Grand Dame title.
with a sash and a crown.
Sash and crown, awarding NECA. This doesn't make any freaking sense. Candace called Giselle a sinister imp. Did you catch
that? I love it.
I hollered.
Oh my God. I was like, there's so many things that are just should go straight in everyone's lexicon. It goes right next to Not Today, Nick. A sinister imp. That is a good one.
Imp. That is a great one. Oh my God. I was dying. Like, how does Candace come up with this shit? She has like an endless trope. It almost reminds me of Martin and Jean. Or not
oh
Martin,
my God. And Pam.
For like 15 seasons, their volley back and forth was just endless. They could call each other every different name under the sun. It was so good. That's how Candace just keeps bringing different names. What's she called? Just ankles? She called her ankles last episode.
Not today, ankles.
Yeah. Not today, ankles. Oh my God. Hilarious. Mm. So yeah, that was Potomac, basically.
Pretty much. Pretty much nothing to learn over there with those
definitely
ladies.
Not, but it's pretty sad. Fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it, guys.
That's
we
it.
We'll be back tomorrow. Bachelor drops.
Sure
tomorrow.
Will.
Love is Blind 7-9 recap drops the next day. We're here all week long.
Yep.
Thanks for sticking with us. Let us know what you think of these episodes. Our after show experts.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll be back tomorrow.
Sure will. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.